Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code budget. That's monarch.com, promo code budget.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This is a story that started, as these stories do all too often, with someone calling for help. A woman alone, scared, convinced that someone was outside her home. This is the story that you've probably seen the video of, where the woman is having something going on with her. We don't quite know exactly what. She is scared. She thinks somebody's outside of her home. The police show up. She has boiling water on the pot. And the officers claim that she's about to throw it at them, when in reality, she just stoops down, puts it on the ground, and then she gets shot repeatedly by the police. It's that story. And I'm not going to show the video again. We've all seen it too many times. But we're going to talk about what happened, because this is one of those cases. This is finally one of those cases where justice has come calling for the trigger-happy officer who clearly did not have the correct response to this situation. The woman was alone, scared, convinced that someone was outside of her home. She did what anyone is told to do. She called 911. Her name was Sonia Massey. And she would never make it through the night. She'll never make another phone call again asking for help. It wasn't a let's call the cops and have them end me. It was, there's something going on outside of my home, please help. It was just after 1 in the morning, July 6 of 2024. It was in Springfield, Illinois, a quiet patch of middle America. Sonia's call came in calm but worried. She thought someone might be outside. The dispatcher sent two county sheriff's deputies, Sean Grayson and his partner, Dawson Farley. They drove out, lights on, nothing unusual, no weapons drawn, no talk of danger, just to check the scene and make sure that she's okay, kind of call. When they arrived, they looked around the property. No one was there. They knocked. Sonia answered. She invited them inside. She wasn't combative or erratic. She wasn't armed. She was frightened, standing in her own living room, just wanting reassurance that whoever she thought was out there wasn't. But that's when something small, something so absurd it defies logic, started the chain of events that would end her life. There was a pot of boiling water on the stove. Maybe she'd been cooking before she got scared. Maybe it was just sitting there from earlier. One of the deputies, not Grayson, noticed it and mentioned it, worried it might be a fire hazard. They asked her to take it off the burner. She walked over, lifted the pot, and started towards the sink. Then Grayson backed up. His partner would later testify he had no idea why. Grayson shouted at her to drop the pot. Sonia froze, confused, still holding it, water steaming. "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," she said, a phrase familiar to anyone raised around a church, a phrase of self-protection, not a threat. But Grayson took it as one, and he drew his gun. She was not threatening to throw water on him. She was taking the pot off the stove and putting it in the sink. That's where she was headed. And when she got down on the ground, you could hear something like, "I'm sorry," on the ground with the pot. That's when the officer decides, let's discharge our weapon. That's when trigger-happy Sean Grayson decided, this might be the best moment to destroy my life. Is it a decision he regrets? Probably. Is it a decision that, had he had better training, better impulse control, better, you name it, could have been avoided 1,000%. But it is what happened. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. In the space of 3 seconds, Sonia Massey, a 36-year-old mother of two, was shot in the face in her own kitchen by the very person she'd called to keep her safe. Shot in the face. You know, as you do when you go to a call for a welfare-type check. Farley's body cam would later show no threat. Sonia wasn't advancing. She wasn't throwing anything. She was unarmed, standing in her house, and Grayson fired 3 rounds anyway. He would later claim he thought she was about to throw the boiling water, but that's not how policing is supposed to work. Not when you have training. Not when your job is to de-escalate. What a concept. Not when your badge means you're trusted with life and death judgment calls. Ain't no room for error here, especially when you bring that gun out. Grayson didn't render aid either. He didn't rush to help her as she collapsed. His partner did. The woman who had called 911 for protection now lay dying on her kitchen floor, bleeding from her face, and the deputy who shot her stood over her with his weapon still drawn. The body cam footage later released was devastating. The quietness of the moment before the shots, the stillness after, you can hear Farley swearing in shock. You can hear Sonia's last sound, a kind of gurgled cry before she fell. What made this case explode wasn't just the senselessness of the shooting. It was what we learned about Sean Grayson. This wasn't a decorated officer who made a one-time fatal mistake. This was a man who never should have been wearing a badge to begin with. Why? Well, 6 different law enforcement agencies in 4 years fired, resigned, or forced out of nearly every one is his track record. A dishonorable discharge from the U.S. Army for what records later described as serious misconduct, DUI convictions, red flags all over his background that somehow got overlooked or ignored when the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office decided to bring him on board. This is what we talk about quite often. Just because you have a shortage of people doesn't mean you should hire the people who are always the shortest sticks. Getting the least qualified. Well, we need to fill a body. Yeah, you're going to have a body count if you need to fill that body. In that position with just another body. What could possibly go wrong with someone like this? It's a practice we see all too often, though. Passing the trash. We see it in school districts. We see it in the Catholic Church. And we see it in the police departments. Get rid of this guy. He's going to be someone else's problem. Until somebody decides he needs to go away for a very long time because he destroyed someone else's life. It's one of those bureaucratic failures that looks almost unbelievable until you remember. This happens all the time. Officers bounce from department to department, their records following them like ghosts, and nobody stops them. They resign quietly before discipline, skip town, apply somewhere new, and another department hands them a gun. In July of 2024, those failures all caught up to this one woman, unfortunately. The shooting made national headlines. Protesters filled Springfield's downtown, and Sonia, her family held vigils. Civil rights organizations demanded Grayson's arrest, and for once, it didn't take years. He was indicted within 2 weeks. 3 counts of first-degree murder plus aggravated battery with a firearm and official misconduct. The sheriff fired him. The body cam video left no room for the unusual spin. There was no, she's reaching for something. No, he feared for his life. That held up under scrutiny. No, it was just brutality captured from start to finish. But when the case went to trial, that's where the real gut punch came. Because in America, juries are complicated things. We like to think video tells the truth, that footage equals conviction. But trials aren't morality plays. They're legal chess, and the defense played every square. They argued that Grayson believed he was in danger, that Sonia's movement towards him with the boiling water could have caused grievous bodily harm. They leaned on split-second decision-making, on the chaos of policing, on the no-one-wants-this-outcome sympathy the jury sometimes extend to cops. The prosecution countered with the footage, the training protocols, the partner's own testimony that he never felt threatened. They walked jurors through every frame, Sonia standing still, the pot lowering the moment the shots were fired. They played the audio where Grayson yelled, "Drop it!" and the fired, and then he fired before she could even process the command. For the Massey family sitting in the courtroom, it must have felt like living through her death all over again, day after day, her image projected on the screens, her last words replayed. When the verdict came down, it wasn't the victory that they'd prayed for. Grayson wasn't convicted of first-degree murder. The jury found him guilty of second-degree murder, a lesser charge that acknowledges wrongdoing but leaves room for imperfect self-defense. It means they believed he shot her unlawfully, but maybe without the intent or premeditation required for first degree. The difference, instead of facing decades, even life, he now faces a maximum of 20 years. And under Illinois law, he could theoretically serve less than that. He could even get probation, though that is highly unlikely. It was more than a slap on the wrist, though. The courtroom erupted in tears. Some cried in relief, a conviction at least. Others enraged because second degree doesn't feel like justice when your loved one is dead for calling for help. Outside, Sonia's family addressed the cameras. Her mother's voice cracked as she said, "He took my daughter's life and they're calling it a mistake." Her cousin said, "If she were anyone else, if she weren't a black woman in her own home, would we even be here?" The ripple effects have been massive. The case has sparked a federal debate of justice review into the San Gamon County Sheriff's Office hiring and oversight practices. Oh, are they going to do it themselves? State lawmakers drafted what's now known as Sonia's Law, tightening police background screening requirements and mandating new crisis intervention training for officers responding to mental health or welfare calls. Sounds lovely on paper. Let's see how it works. It's something. It is something. So many times we have these cases and there's nothing. I'll do better next time. Meanwhile, somebody's dead. Yeah. Why you need legislation to tell you, don't hire the guy that has a horrid track record, like the exact opposite of what you want. Like if someone said, okay, you're wanting to be a police officer, fill this out in a way that would make us not want to hire you. Like put the worst possible things that you can on here. Not just, I have no experience, but no, I have a lot of experience in every place I've been. They fired me. I've had to resign. I've been kicked out of. Put that down. Because that's essentially what his resume was. A resume, they said, ha, welcome aboard. Here's a gun. What could possibly go wrong? But we need legislation to tell these departments, those aren't the ones you want to hire. Maybe we need legislation telling us, you need to hire better people choosers. Who's in the hiring department? Who's making these decisions? Because that person needs to go. Earlier this year, the county agreed to pay Sonia's family $10 million in a wrongful death settlement, but money doesn't replace a life. It doesn't undo the trauma of a 9-year-old child growing up knowing his mom was killed by a cop she trusted. The bigger question, the one that lingers, is why this keeps happening? Why are police, time after time, showing up to welfare checks and ending them with body bags? Why are the systems that are supposed to vet, train, and monitor officers failing at the most basic level, keeping dangerous people from wearing badges? And why is it so easy for a jury to see a dead black woman and still decide that what killed her wasn't quite murder enough? Sean Grayson's background wasn't hidden, it was ignored. That's not a mistake. That's a system functioning exactly as it was built. Again, systems not working right. No, it's working exactly how it's supposed to. It is. You're allowing this to happen. This is how it's fixed the system. A revolving door for men like him, the kind who collect badges like trading cards and move from town to town, each time leaving behind a little more wreckage as they drag their tiny, tiny you-know-what from uniform to uniform and their insecurities that they carry with them like wrecking balls that destroy life after life. And every time a department hires one, they gamble with the public safety because eventually someone will pay the price for their oversight. This time it was Sonia Massie. Her story isn't a one-off headline. It's the blueprint of a national crisis. How a 911 call became a death sentence. How institutions protect themselves by labeling a killing accidental instead of asking how someone like Grayson ever made it into uniform. What's chilling is the predictability of all of it. A broken background check, a red flag ignored, a 911 call from a frightened woman, and a gun that ends the conversation. When Sonia said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," it wasn't defiance, it was fear wrapped in faith. It was a plea, not to a man in front of her, but to something bigger, something that could maybe make sense of the madness she saw in his eyes. And seconds later, she was gone. Her family will watch him stand for sentencing in January. They'll hear his lawyer ask for leniency. They'll see him escorted out of the courtroom and into his cell. And they'll go home to a house missing the woman who used to call when she was scared. The mother who just wanted to feel safe in her own skin. It's not about a bad apple. It's about a barrel built to rot. It's about departments willing to overlook serious misconduct in exchange for filling a vacancy. It's about how in this country, accountability for killing a civilian, even one caught on camera, still feels like an exception, not the rule. In the end, the jury said Sean Grayson was guilty, but they didn't say he was a murderer. And that's the part that sits heavy. Because if this isn't murder, what is? There's a quiet fury in the way the story closes, a sense that the system itself is incapable of learning, incapable of looking inward, because to admit fault would mean dismantling the very structure that shields men like Grayson, and that's something law enforcement, as an institution, still can't bring itself to do. Gotta put on their big boy pants. So we're left with another name, another hashtag, another family planning a funeral and a vigil, another set of reforms promised but not yet delivered. Sonia Massie's death should have been unthinkable. Instead, it's a reminder of how normalized the unthinkable has become. Every time a cop walks free or gets a lighter sentence, we're told to be grateful for the justice we did get. But gratitude doesn't fit here. What fits is exhaustion, the kind that settles deep in a nation that keeps mistaking accountability for progress. Sonia called for help. The system sent her a bullet. And until that changes, there will be more Sonia Massies. Different faces, different cities, same story. That's the America we live in, and until we stop accepting it as inevitable, that's the America we'll keep getting. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That is where you will find us. You can make that same search wherever you get podcasts. Take us with you there and on social media as well. Subscribe, follow, do all that stuff, please. So you don't miss any of our commentary and the stories we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.